Welcome along, everybody. It's a late Thursday night recording because I'm going to a wedding tomorrow. That's why, Terry. So, and Terry is in his Madrid HQ.
Yes, I am. Again, came back Monday, back here today, here till next Monday. So, four games in 4 days.
Yes. And Patreons are able to see. You've got like a palace behind you, Terry. Look at that. It's nice, isn't it? Looking out the window. Beautiful blue skies.
I'm going to make a request for backdrops when we're recording podcasts.
Yes. right. So we're the good news is, Terry, we're delighted. If you look at the league table, everyone's played two.
So, do you know what? It's been really irritating me already.
They've caught it up.
We're doing this podcast now. Is this week one? This is week one, isn't it? The game since Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. These are the four games that weren't played in week one. Three of them because of the World Cup and one because of fungus on the pitch, which has now been dealt with.
Yes. Defungused. Yes. Yeah. So that's good. So let's get, we've got a couple of transfers I want to ask you about as well, but a couple of weird transfers knocking around, aren't there? But we'll do the games first, and we will do Barcelona's victory just now over Athletic Club, who have started badly, played two, lost two, same record as Real Sociedad, actually, as we'll get to that. I mean, Barca played really well. Athletic Club, I don't want to go overboard with my criticism of them because it's a couple of games into the season. They need to get rid of the calamities, though.
Yeah.
They need to stop giving away stupid goals.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal was wide open defending, isn't it? Then the second one is... And at 1-0, it was edgy for Barcelona. You do get, even the best teams, if you've only got the one goal lead and you're going down with 10 minutes to go and you need to go, you know, from a set piece, a chance, and you suddenly drop in 2 points, which you don't want to do at this stage of the season. So Athletic, they hung on in there, to be honest. And although Barcelona outplayed them, but the first goal was wide open defending. And then the second one was... I kind of felt for Laporte because he has to do something. He can't leave it because it's a dangerous cross. And there are... Fermin was there behind him. But he didn't... He got caught between... two minds, then it was I don't know if it was a back pass. He should have just cleared it, shouldn't he?
Mm, yeah.
If he had his chance again, he'd just put his foot through that and clear it behind for a corner at the very least.
Yeah.
But he just kind of cushioned it, didn't he? And Unai Simon wasn't expecting it, and Fermin Lopez couldn't believe he's lucky.
Yeah.
Was there to take advantage and just tap it in.
The XG, Terry, was 0.98. That's which means I could have scored. Essentially.
I mean, it was a metre out, wasn't it? Yeah. If that, and he just, the both players were out of the game and it was a tap-in.
Yep, there you go, have that. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, I liked the first goal, and it's interesting. We were talking the other day about Rafinha, weren't we? Who's now got three goals, first two games. And ties into the whole Julian Alvarez conversation again, because you're looking at it, and they've got this guy playing as the centre-forward, who was... scored three goals in two games. It doesn't seem an immediate situation where they need to go out and splash 100 million.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, Rafinha is a really interesting one. I've said in the podcast in recent weeks that last season it wasn't at his best and he was injured a lot. And I did wonder whether he would be a casualty this summer because his stock is still relatively high because of the season before. And it would have been a Saudi transfer. Someone might have paid 100 million for him. And I did think that might be in danger, but what surprised me about him in general is how his leadership skills.
Mm.
We didn't see that, you know, prior to Hansi Flick coming into Barcelona. I mean, he probably was never felt comfortable in the position he was in terms of he starts, he gets taken off, he's on this wing, he's on that wing, he's on the bench. So when you're in that position, you're never given that responsibility. You're only thinking of yourself, really. It's not selfish. It's self-preservation rather than being selfish. But since Hansi Flick has come in, we've seen a completely different Rafinha. And we're still seeing qualities. Yeah, we all know he can play. We know his abilities and his technical skills. But his leadership skills in the last couple of years, and if he can stay fit and healthy, I tend to agree with you that it's... Do they have to get And I don't think they're going to get Julian Alvarez. It doesn't. It looks like Atleti will sell him to anyone. And what they're saying now, they can't go back on that Atleti now. They can't go back on it. They've issued statement after statement now, and it's the board have unanimously decided he's not going to. But we're not going to deal with Barcelona. If they do deal with Barcelona now and he goes, it's going to make them look ridiculous. So that's a whole different situation. Atleti haven't played this week. He's now had 2 days off, missed 2 days training as well through an illness. So that's it's something that needed to be resolved. The only way it's going to be resolved is if another club come in and pay the money. But there's only they're talking Arsenal. That'd be it. There'd be no one else with that money to go and spend. I can't imagine another Premier League club are going to jump in. There is the question, because Atleti paid so much for him, they've got to get a lot of money paid for him to justify what they laid out to Manchester City. So it's teams in Italy can't afford him. Bayern Munich are not going to take him. PSG are not going to take him. It's Premier League clubs, and Arsenal appear to be the only one that are in the hunt. Or he stays at Atleti. But I agree with you, with Rafinha playing like that, Fermín López, another goal as well. He plays in that position. He can play in that position. Dani Olmo can play in that position. What we've seen is it must be damaging for Julian Alvarez, to be honest. I think Barcelona are saying all the right things, that they still want him. And if there's a deal, if they accept our offer, they're probably thinking now they're not going to accept our offer, but we can keep saying that and it won't be our fault if we don't get him.
It is a difficult one. I know we've discussed it a few times. I'm not, because have Barca behaved properly over this? Because is it down to Julian Alvarez going too? I think he's probably gone too public, hasn't he, Julian Alvarez, too soon, and he probably should have kept a lid on it all. And
Yes, he should have done. He should have done. Also, it's put other people off. It might put Arsenal off. If they think he only wants to play for Barcelona and he's only coming to us because he can't stay at Atletico Madrid, who's to say in 6 months' time, a year's time, he wants to go to Barcelona still? You know, it's a difficult one. I don't know how it's going to end up. All I know is the way Atleti have pushed themselves into a corner is they can't sell him to Barcelona. And that's the only solution that probably is there, to be honest. Do Arsenal go in and spend 100 million on Julian Alvarez? I'm not sure they would.
No, because part of the reason for Atleti's predicament is that they slightly overpay. It's really good, but it's an awful lot of money to have paid, and it means that the resale is very, very difficult, as now is proving. You've got very few buyers, and we don't know what Barca's offer is, do we? As far as I'm
No.
aware. So, because you can try. My main allegation against Barca would be: have they promised the player that will come and get you, and then gone with essentially a lowball offer to Atletico?
Who
And
knows? And we don't know what Atleti have said to Julian Alvarez as well. There's been talk of don't do anything, don't we'll sort this out, don't say anything publicly and during the World Cup. And they knew that he wanted to go to Barcelona. They knew that Barcelona were willing to make a deal, tried to make a deal. We don't know what was said to him. It's untidy. It's a mess. I have a degree of sympathy for Julian Alvarez. I have a degree of sympathy for Atletico Madrid. Barcelona, it doesn't really matter, to be honest. But Atleti and Julian Alvarez are left to pick up the pieces, and it's not going to be easy. If he stays, I don't. It's going to be. I mean, he's got to. He's a professional player. He gets paid an absolute ton of money. He's going to have to get fit and do his best and live with the fact that what he wanted didn't happen. But then he's got to then. Atletico Madrid is still a big club as well. He was happy to go to in the first place. They wanted him. He was always suffering because he was behind Erling Haaland. And Atleti came in and paid the money. Yes, they might have paid too much, but he was good in his first year. Second year was slightly different. So Atleti is a big club. But the real relationship between him, the club, and the most importantly, the fans, that's going to be hard to overcome. And in the meantime, Barcelona winning games, scoring goals.
So they had, I'll do some stats. They had 22 shots, 10 shots on target, 3.91 XG, partly swollen by the tap-in goal for Fermín López. Unai Simón made a couple of very good saves. Lamine Yamal was good.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't sort of the overwhelm, wasn't the sort of, star of the game necessarily, but he had it. Yeah, he had a good game. Looked
He looked
lively.
sharper, didn't he? And he was unlucky with that chance where he would, if he'd have scored that, would he just said Lamine Yamal scored a Lamine Yamal goal? We'd all know exactly what it is. So yeah, there's been a lot of concern about him lately, hasn't there? Because of his demeanour, his body language after the game at the weekend. Barcelona allegedly, I saw on social media, had a camera trained on him the whole of the training session. And somehow it got onto social media and it didn't look good, I have to be honest. He looked miserable. He looked downbeat. Now the clip lasts for about 90 seconds. I hope there's other stuff that wasn't on social media where he was smiling and upbeat. But I thought in tonight's game, he looked more like his old self.
So there we go. That will do for Barcelona, I think. Seven goals scored, none conceded. Really solid start to the season. Let's compare them with Real Madrid. So their first game, Real Madrid against Espanyol, they sort of got away with.
Oh, we forgot one thing, Rodri.
Oh yes, Rodri's debut. Yes,
Rodri
came on,
comes
didn't
off
it?
the
Yes,
bench. Yeah,
yes.
what a difference, by the way. I mean, his ability, I've not watched him closely because he plays for Man City, and I watch him closely when he plays for Spain. But his ability to make an angle for a pass, to always want the ball, whatever situation he's in, and the first time passing, honestly, it's going to be fun to watch. And he was important in 62 minutes he came on, and he cruised through it. So it's going to be now we can start seeing the difference he's going to make to Barcelona.
Yes.
Last thing on Barcelona.
Yes. So Real Madrid won by 4-1 against Real Sociedad, and they were terrific in parts. We'll get onto some of the details of it, but Mbappe scores a hat trick, and some of his penalty box play is sensational, isn't it? The speed of his feet,
Exactly. The speed, the quality, the finishing. How many goals do we see where he just nicks it away from a defender, and it's in the top corner at pace that no goalkeeper can stop? He was brilliant. I really enjoyed the performance. I was disappointed with Real Sociedad. They had some moments. The team selection was strange. When you see the players that were not starting, young centre back Beitia played. There was Zubeldia was on the bench. The one player that's not rested is always Alba, and he went all the way and won it in the World Cup. Yet there was no Garnacho, no Zubeldia, no Oriuskas up front, no Guedes, no Soler. It was kind of weird that they have gone into that match with some important players sat on the bench. It kind of didn't make any sense. But I mean, they got back to 1-1. But I thought Real Madrid were great to watch. I mean, Bellingham was awesome. Vinicius was sharp. Kylian Mbappe in that form is unplayable if any player is. But he's an astonishing footballer. The criticism he gets is ridiculous. And I know they haven't won trophies since he's been there, and France got knocked out in the World Cup. But he's just an astonishing player.
But he won the Golden Boot at the World Cup, didn't he? It's just
Yeah.
it is noteworthy that he doesn't win, that he isn't winning stuff. But that's it. There's no You can't connect the dots up and think that somehow he's making people not win, these teams not win stuff.
Exactly.
It's just like, all right, he's got a hat trick again. Oh,
Yeah.
look, he got 8 goals in the World Cup and they didn't win the World Cup. And oh, look,
Yeah.
he's got all those goals in Real Madrid and they didn't win anything.
He got
It's just,
42 and 44 last year.
yeah, it's just
And it's his fault.
a weird coincidence that that he hasn't been winning trophies. I mean, he's won them in his life, hasn't it?
Yeah.
PSG.
And won a World Cup as well. And scored a hat trick in the final in one. He was brilliant. Bellingham was brilliant as well. Jose Mourinho must be absolutely. And he's had some dodgy jobs of recent years, and he hasn't won as much stuff as he had in the past. And now he's suddenly got the Real Madrid job, and he's sitting there watching and thinking, I've got Brazil's best player, I've got England's best player, and I've got France's best player. How can I fit these into a team? Oh, and Fede Valverde's Uruguay's best player, and
Yeah.
they've got the talent. It should be nip and tuck between them and Barcelona this season.
So
Whether it is remains to be seen, but everything in the garden is rosy for
let's have a look at their
Jose.
team. So it was Valverde and Bernardo Silva. Now, at this, if you'd asked me, I'd have said there's not neither of them is a defensive as a deep midfielder particularly, but they've looked absolutely fine so far. Valverde, because you said it was slightly wasted, but he was still creative, wasn't he? He set up the goal
Yeah.
brilliantly, didn't he? Where there's a little gap opened up, didn't it? And then he sort of drove into it, played a really good pass.
I think it's different at home as well. And then when you do get on top, you can really drill it home. And teams go to the Bernabeu and they're reluctant, as in this case. Real Sociedad are far better than we saw the other night. But they're a good team, Real Sociedad, but they went there apprehensive about the whole thing and played into the hands of Real Madrid. So I think perhaps you don't need that holding midfielder in that type of game, an obvious defensive midfield player, because the other team are just content just to try and hang on for dear life. Bernardo Silva's intelligent enough to do it, to do the distribution side of a defensive midfielder. Probably he's not going to be up to the job of being a, when you're out of possession, that defensive midfield type player. Fede Valverde could do it, but it's not his strength. But he did make some. When he picks the ball up from deep and runs, that you then you see the normal Fede Valverde. So I think it's just. I mean, it isn't a football law that you have to have a defensive midfield player. It can be, every midfield player is now described as. When I'm doing bios and we're doing our prep, it's defensive midfield, attacking midfield, and I'm thinking, is anyone just a midfield player anymore? It's one or the other, and it's Valverde is that type of midfield player, isn't he? That can do everything.
Yeah, I mean Bernardo Silva was the deepest of those. Looking at his detail, weirdly, he was at
Yeah,
left back more than anywhere else. Can you see that?
so they need another
The
player out the left.
yeah. So the right. So in terms of Real Madrid's team, is I would say Cucurella would be first choice left back. They brought him on at half
Yeah,
time, didn't they?
he looked better.
Yeah.
Carreras was in a disaster last year. It's weird that they've spent over 100 million on two good left backs in two summer transfer windows, and they've still got Fernand Mendy. Yeah, it's weird that they've done that, but Carreras good. He looked
Yeah.
better. He probably is
And
better than Carreras at this moment in time.
Gula was playing in that wide right. Obviously, I'll have a
Yeah,
look again. Yeah, actually it's very
he
orthodox
was.
wide right. So yeah. It's hard to drop him at the moment, isn't it? But then Diamande came on. And we saw he did an outrageous bit of skill, didn't he? But it was he played on the left and he played a couple of minutes. But we've got to see more of him. Paid over 100 million
Yes,
for him. So,
exactly.
yeah.
Yeah, so I think Güler's position is going to be under threat. He knows that. Diamandis settling in. He's a youngster. He's just come into the squad. I can't imagine a situation where he's not playing for that much money.
Can we dwell on Bellingham a little bit?
Yeah.
The effort that he made for the Vinny goal was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Uncalled for at that stage of the game.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't. He was still in the balance then of the
Yeah.
game.
He just wouldn't let the ball, he wouldn't give up possession, chasing after it in the penalty area until he won it back and then.
He's just such a pedigree footballer, isn't he? Pedigree athlete. We know he's got all the skill you want. But in terms of his athleticism as well,
And
I
his
mean, he's got the
determination.
whole package, isn't he?
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
He's the skill for the give and go for one of Mbappe's goals, the goal that he made for Vinicius. As I said, Jose Mourinho, I must be sitting there and thinking, oh, gee,
And his
better not
intelligence.
be here. Yeah.
I'm going to somehow, because I'm a trained journalist, I'm going to come up with a negative. When my frustration with Gareth Bale in his later years at Real Madrid, when they went off him and used to boo him, this is what I meant. This is, I think, what a lot of people felt. Why? Just because you're really good, it doesn't mean that you can't also run around and bust the gut like an ordinary player. Like a bang average player who suddenly played for Real Madrid, you'd expect them to run around. And Gareth
Exactly.
Bale, but at times he was too cool for it all. And but you look at Bellingham and you think, he's not too cool for it, is he? He'll go,
No.
he'll go charging to close down the goalkeeper and stuff like that, to force him into a quick kick that goes out of play. Did that a couple of times.
Yeah.
So it's just his work rate, his attitude, his intelligence, everything is brilliant.
And do you know what? It's pleasing to see that we haven't had to stick up for him because we're not his fan club and we don't know him. But the criticism he's taken for the last since the time he's been at Real Madrid, the first year not so much because he scored the goals. Then that gave everyone a reason the next year to criticise him when he didn't score as many goals, and Real Madrid didn't win a trophy. Then didn't win a trophy again. He's playing well at the moment. But I think he's always been playing well.
Who would you say has criticised him? Where they took
Oh,
the
the English media.
English newspapers,
The
essentially.
English media, which is then the narrative, has then spread to the supporters of England that turned on him. And then this narrative of he's arrogant and he's spoiled and he's.
Oh, the whole Tuchel press conference stuff, and then the guy in the Daily Mail said drop him from the squad and all that.
I've been astonished by Jude Bellingham from the first season to this day. And I didn't see much of him at Dortmund, saw him play for England, obviously knew super talented. I didn't. He's blown me away. It's always, and it's always been like that. I can think of very few really bad games where I would honestly say, no, he was dreadful today. He didn't try. His attitude weren't great. Even if he ain't at his best, his attitude has always been good. So I it's pleasing to see now him getting the plaudits. I think he's had them in Spain. They've never really been critical of him, and I think he's now getting the plaudits from English fans that witnessed him in the World Cup and thought, hang on, we thought he was this and we thought he was that and we thought he was the other bloke was better than him. He was brilliant in the World Cup and he's carried that form on. He doesn't look like a player that's getting up to speed yet this season. He's fully up to speed.
So it's looking, I mean, they're both looking pretty all right, aren't they? The big two at the
They
moment.
are,
So,
yeah. It's a worry for Atleti of drawing a game against Villarreal. But there is a Madrid derby coming up as well. So it's, yeah, the top two, the big two, they're not the top two.
They are the
But
top two.
are they at the top two? What about Sevilla?
The mighty Sevilla are a point of goal difference worse off than
Oh.
Real Madrid. So and then Betis of 2-1-0 wins, 1-0 their way to the title. Betis, yeah. Tell us about your game tonight, Terry. Celta Vigo 1, Osasuna 2, comeback win with the boys from Pamplona. How was
On the
it?
fungus pitch, which has been
Yes.
relayed, apparently the Celta's B team are in the second division now.
Oh, right,
And
okay.
they played on the pitch last week.
Right, okay.
Who'd
Right, okay.
have thought? Who'd have thought it? Celta, first of all, the first goal, Iago Aspas, wonderful goal. He's 39. Whenever he starts now, it's, oh, Aspas is playing. And I'm glad. I want to see him play. And he picked the ball up the Osasuna gave the ball away cheaply and then made a real poor effort to try and win it back, close him down, and he drilled it home from distance. Fantastic goal. Celta was, they had all the style, all the possession, but that was the only shot they had in the first half. Osasuna had a couple of weak attempts, couple of off target, didn't look like scoring. At half time, I'm thinking, there needs to be better from Osasuna, but it looks like Celta will score more goals. Despite the fact they only had one attempt, they looked a far better team. Then 5 minutes into the second half, Marcos Alonso makes a challenge. I don't think it was a red personally. It's one of those old-fashioned, really determined challenges that you could make not that long ago, but definitely a long time ago. And it was just a determined challenge. It was a loose ball. The referee gave the free kick. Alonso laughed because he didn't think it was even a foul. The referee showed him a yellow card. It was a free kick. Just as they were taking the free kick, the game got stopped. The referee was told to go and look at VAR. And when you see it, he slides in, but his boot is with the laces. to try and win the ball. He wins the ball, but there's a slight angle of change on his boot where the studs are then showing. And the steel, as soon as you see the steel picture, you're thinking he's off, he's gone. And that's how it proved. But when you see it in real time, he doesn't go in with the stud showing. He goes in a strong, aggressive, determined challenge. I thought he was incredibly harsh. So 5 minutes in, they're down to 10 men. They're still winning 1-0. 4 minutes later, they concede a goal. Dreadful defending. Kike Braja scores. And then they then Osasuna get a penalty. And again, it was controversial. It was one of those, like, if you said to a manager at half-time, you're winning 1-0, your team are playing reasonably well, you need more end product, but the other team have offered nothing. And then if you said to them, but in the next 15 minutes, you're going to have a player sent off, you're going to concede a crap goal, and you're going to give away a controversial penalty and find yourself 2-1 down, you wouldn't put, you just can't predict football sometimes. And that game turned around, and Osasuna won out, comfortable winners in the end. No real sign of a fight back from Celta.
So they're one of the unbeaten teams, along with Alaves and Atletico. They're on 4 points. And then, actually, is there anyone unbeaten? No, there's no. Villarreal have drawn two and Depor have drawn two. And then, obviously, Sevilla were the leaders, title favourites, Sevilla. And then Betis got a 1-0 against Valencia, didn't they? So they've had 2 1-0s so
Yeah,
far,
Pablo
Betis.
Garcia with a good goal, a really good goal, actually. But it's talk of him leaving, isn't there? I think we've got quite emotional. It's talk of him. The last I heard, Hull were making a bid. Again, Betis are one of those teams that do need to sell now and then.
This is the madness of the transfer window, isn't it? It's like,
Unbelievable,
oh,
isn't it?
Real Betis can't resist a bid from Hull.
And Betis are in the Champions League. They just found out today who they're playing in the Champions League. And Hull, newly promoted Hull, going to come and plunder and take away one of their players. And it's just how Betis have to work. So it'd be interesting to see how much they get for Pablo Garcia. Interesting to see if he goes. Valencia offered very little. It doesn't look much different from last year. They signed Daniel Martinez today from Girona, which I think is a really good signing. I haven't found out much they paid for him. But they also signed Pablo Mafeo as well. So they've gone and got two right backs in the last few days. Pablo Mafeo left Mallorca, I think it was Olympiacos he went to this summer, and got straight back. Family reasons. I don't know whether he's Valencia signed him permanently or whether he's on loan. But it's a concern for Valencia. Tight game, but Betis won it in the end.
Champions League, you mentioned Barca will play Manchester City, which is good. I mean, we don't know how good City are going to be this season yet, so
No.
that's interesting. Then they've got Villa. If
Where's
Villa,
that at? Barcelona, where's it
Barca
at?
are at home, and then they're at home to Villa as well. Villa, see if they can get 11 out and get a team together. Feyenoord, Como, Galatasaray away, PSG again, again,
Oh, God.
Sabah, and Sporting. So yeah, let's have a look at. Well, actually, I'm not going to. I'll do Real Madrid. I'm not going to do everybody because I'll be here all night.
I know.
they've got
40 games.
they've got is it AEK Athens and then Arsenal away, Inter, PSV Eindhoven, Leipzig, LASK, Roma. Oh, that's a good one for Jose then, isn't it? And Shakhtar Donetsk. So yeah, I'm not going to do everybody. It's the trouble with this format. There are pros and cons, as often discussed with this format. It does make the games a little bit throwaway. There is
It
you can sort
does.
of lose a game and think, yeah, well, and you can not watch a game and think it'll be fine. The last night's is exciting, but a couple of ones early and you sort of think,
And yet
bleh.
the team that keep winning it don't even qualify for the last eight. They're quite content to finish in the mid-table and win a playoff and then win the competition.
Pace themselves through it,
So it's yeah, we enjoy watching these matchups, but I'm still not convinced this is the right way. You
No.
still can get an easier draw as well. That's that that shouldn't I mean, I know you can get an easier draw when it was a group of four, but kind of worked out, balanced itself out, two decent teams, didn't it? Third and fourth were similar in each group. Top two went through, and
Yeah, but I don't mind. I'm not a massive fan of everything being seeded the whole time because you're just guaranteeing the same teams will be. You guarantee almost certain anyway. The same. We could guess seven. We'll
yeah,
guess that seven of the
the
eight.
last eight, yeah.
Yeah, and all you're doing by seeding it heavily is just really cementing that in, and you know, making absolutely certain that it's
And
the.
the people that run football certainly don't want that.
Well, they probably, I imagine they do want a little bit of variety in it, don't you? You can't
But
just.
not too much, John, not too
Yeah,
much.
yes, that's it, yeah.
Come on.
It's like, yeah, it's like when Girona were good all of a sudden, and suddenly, yeah, right, okay, nice,
Yeah,
but only now we've got to take all of your players off you.
Newcastle, Aston Villa. Yep,
Yeah,
don't have too much fun.
yes. So, Emi Martinez has gone to Chelsea. Yeah.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes sense for Chelsea to buy him. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
but they've qualified for the Champions League. They can't even hang on to their goalkeeper. So anyway,
I think
that's
they
by the
signed
by.
another one. They signed the Japanese goalkeeper,
Yeah,
didn't they?
he was on the bench the
So,
other day, wasn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
it's the yeah, they're too complicated, the rules, aren't they? And obviously, clubs are
They
falling
are.
foul of rules that they
Yeah,
don't quite understand.
exactly.
Talking of transfers, Adama Traore to Depor.
Yeah.
Which is exciting signing, isn't it? You know,
It
it's
is.
yeah.
I mean, where's he been now? I've lost track of him. To be fair, I keep losing track of him. Suddenly you see him in a Wolves shirt, then it was Fulham. Then back in Spain, alone at Barcelona for a spell.
And West Ham, wasn't he?
West Ham, yeah.
Yeah. And then so presumably just on a free in the summer, I guess.
So
So
West Ham was his last club. I have
yeah,
no
is it
recollection of him
West?
playing for
Yeah,
West Ham.
he's at West Ham the end of last. Let's go check it now. Yeah, is it the West Ham the end of last season? Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. So after, it must have been January he moved. Yeah, and he how old is he? He is 30. So yeah, he's still.
I know.
He's
No,
yeah.
I know. Exactly. This, I'd be, I mean, it's a, yeah, ambitious transfer. And I love watching him play. I mean, he's built like a tank. He's lightning quick. He does cause havoc. Yeah, I think it's a really good signing for Depo.
They've gone for it, Depo, haven't they? They've spent 26 million, which again, if you're Hull, obviously that's one centre back, but if you've got the mighty spending power of Hull, but for a promoted Spanish team, that's a good effort. That's you know,
It
that's a
is.
serious effort, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. A concern that we don't know too much about the background of how the club is run financially now.
I think they're
Hopefully, well, they
solid.
won't be allowed to be
Yeah,
like they
yeah.
were in the
Yeah,
past.
no, I think it's solid. I think all of the promoted clubs are in reasonable nick, and Malaga. I think Malaga were the best, as in. But then they haven't spent a lot, but
No.
all their debts got cleared by the administration process.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So again, and what was the other try? Oh, Morata.
Did the Malaga sign Goodell? I think they were trying to get Goodell, which would be a great signing for them. Nemanja Gudel, they were trying
Yeah.
to get him the other day. It might not have happened yet, but I think that possibly is going to happen.
Right, I can't see it listed, so we'll have that as an
Yeah,
exclusive.
but that would be a good signing for Malaga.
Yeah.
And the one you just said is that's an astonishing transfer.
Yeah, so
I can't get my head around that, to be honest.
Alvaro
Over
Morata
and
is going to play in the
yeah,
second division.
for Leganés. So I could. We were talking just before we started recording. We were rattling off teams that the. I know it's not the Morata of old. What age is Morata now? 2 years
30.
ago, he was captain of Spain when they won the Euros.
He's 33, which, as we know in La Liga, is nothing. Iago Aspas,
Exactly.
Aubameyang,
Yeah.
considerably older. Budimir scored tonight, older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm stunned that he's dropping down to the
Yeah.
seconda.
And people want everyone look. Well, no, we had this debate, didn't we, about big number nine centre forward, quite hard to come by.
Yeah.
And he fits the bill. Now,
But
he had
Levante
a.
just lost Carlos Espe. Could have done Levante, Valencia. There's a number of teams that, without thinking too, and his Unai has gone back and scoring goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really surprised he feels he has to drop down to the second division. It's not the money, is it? He's not going to get paid more at Leganés than anyone in La Liga that could afford him. Malaga, Depor, Racing. I mean, they can afford more than Leganés to wages. So it's yeah, I'm astonished that transfer is happening.
Yes, and it'll be
And the only other
interesting.
thing is it's Madrid. It's in Madrid. That might be a reason for it. He wants to go back and live in Madrid. It might be just that.
Perhaps. Troy Parrott will be an interesting one to keep an eye on as well. He played the other night. I'm going to say, did he
Come
come
to
on? I'd
sub.
better check that. Yeah, came on, did
He
he?
came
Right.
on and he's strong, powerful. He's done well in Holland, originally at Spurs. No, it's a, a really intriguing signing. Looking forward to seeing more of him. Didn't see a lot of him when he was playing for the Spurs. Haven't seen anything playing for PSV, but it'd be interesting to see him, how he fares at Betis. I guess he comes in to replace Bakambu, doesn't he? So they've got Cucho Hernandez. Bakambu left the club. He comes in to compete with Champions League football. He'll be playing for Betis.
So yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. That's good news. Good. What's the other? Oh, I was going to ask you what your games are then. So we're up to speed, but we keep on going. There's no rest for the good or the wicked. So we roll straight into games. So what are you doing Friday night?
I'm just checking because there have been a lot of changes,
Oh.
actually.
Think of
This was
ask.
changed. I was meant to come tomorrow, but now I come today. I've got Racing against Elche tomorrow night. I
Okay.
like these games at the start of the season, I've got to be honest. I know it's cooler to have Barcelona and Real Madrid, but I kind of like getting an early look at some of the teams that I haven't seen too much of. So Racing against Elche tomorrow night and Saturday. I've now been changed and I've got Sevilla against Atletico Madrid. And on Sunday, Depor against Valencia. So three games that over the weekend, back
Yes.
Monday, back the following Sunday, I think.
Excellent. So this is a 4-day match round, isn't it? Yes, just checking. So yeah, Barcelona play Monday night is the that's the end of the round against Rayo Vallecano, isn't it? And then the next round starts on the Thursday and
Is
runs
it
through to the Monday.
Rio? I think it's at Rio,
Barca
isn't
at
it?
home. No, Barca
Oh,
at home.
Barcelona at home,
Yeah,
I'd say.
yeah. So
I
yeah.
heard talk today about Rio still trying to sort out a stadium pitch for the next game. We can't have that. We can't have this where we're playing the next home game
No, it's
in
extraordinary. Like
one of the most important leagues in Europe.
like Sunday League, isn't it? It's
It's exactly the same.
just bizarre. Right. Well, so enjoy the rest of your of this particular trip, Terry, and we will pick it up and we'll have to have a chat. Well, after all the games have been played, it's more or less how it works, which is it's straightforward now. It's straightforward. We just let them play the games and then we'll talk about them. That's it. Right. Thank you, Patreons, for your continued support. Thank you, everybody. And Terry, I will speak to you in a few days' time.